And welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjurman Ali of ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we will be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, Adam Nadia of PowerMoon.com in Chicago, Illinois. They will take your calls and offer advice to ameliorate and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our times. You can learn not just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Cat and Conjurman Ali. Cat?
Hi. Nice to be here. Hi. We just made it back in time. We were on the 101 racing up from the East Bay and got here, got everything set up. We were down there for a little last Hanukkah festival there and some latkes and, you know, the usual.
Mm-hmm.
All that good stuff. So it's colder and, you're not allowed to say those things on the radio. My stepfather used to have a whole lot of things that it was colder than, and I'm sure you can think of all of them. he used to say colder than a witch's teat, but that was the nice one. There were other ones that were worse. Okay, it is colder than a witch's teat. That I think you can say on the radio, maybe. I don't know.
How cold is that?
Anyway, so I'm drinking my hot tea and just hanging out. This week we have Madam Nadia as our guest. Welcome to the show, Madam Nadia.
Thank you, Kat. So good to be
welcome.
Here.
Yeah, nice to meet you. And, of course, my co-host, lovely co-host, Conjurman Ali of the fabulous Ali Brothers. That's just a joke. I found out this week about some of Ali's relatives, and he has a lot of them, and they're all over Orange County. He comes from
a
populous
family.
Mm-hmm.
Very large family.
Very large family. Yes. And they all look very similar too.
Well, I would like to think I'm quite distinctive looking, but okay.
Well, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing finding out about people. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's very true.
So, folks, anyway, let's see. What other news do we have to report? Our dear friend Dr. E has been working on the page for the workshops for May, the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church workshops. Ollie's going to be there. Madam Nadia is going to be there,
mm-hmm.
and a whole lot of other great people, including Dr. E, and he's been updating the web pages. We've been letting people watch them grow. Michelle Jackson is going to be there teaching a course in how to make your own tarot cards, and a lot of other AIR members. Miss Elvira is going to be there, Miss Michael. Help me out here, folks. Just about everybody
Deacon
that we know
Millett
and love.
Is going to be there. Deacon
That's
Millett
right.
is going to be there. Kai Armand is going to be on
That's
there.
That's right.
Johannes is going to be there.
Johannes is
coming
all the way
crazy.
From Sweden. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be quite a get-together.
Definitely.
And I know I've left about six people out. So if you in the chat room, they posted the link. It's missionaryindependent.org/workshops.html, or you can go to the year workshop, which would be missionaryindependent.org/workshop2013.html. And Dr. E is updating that page, and we'll be updating it weekly. Tickets will go on sale right around January 1st. If we can't make exactly January 1st, it'll be, you know, by the 3rd. So stay tuned for that, and we hope to see a lot of y'all come out for that event. All righty. Well, here we are. And as we've been doing lately, when we have a guest on, we have our guest propose a topic to discuss. And this week, Madam Nadia is our guest. And as y'all can tell from her beautiful Russian accent, she is originally from Russia and then was raised in Israel. And
that's
so
right.
She comes at Conjure and Hoodoo from a background that is a bit different than some, but she has a worldwide folkloric approach to things. And so she proposed the topic, and the topic we're going to discuss today, and it's a brilliant topic. We could probably devote 3 or 4 weeks to this topic.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a curse, a hex, a jinx, the evil eye, bad luck, stepping in messes, whatever? All right, so take it away, Miss Nadia, and let's get started on this from your perspective.
Well, my interest is that is personal, as well as I get clients, you know, calling in, and they are absolutely sure that somebody cursed them. They have the worst luck. What's going on? And because I'm a very honest person, I will tell them what I see. And a lot of times it is not a curse. There are curses. There is a lot of people out there who are not nice people and who will curse. You know, there is all kinds of different types of curse, but oftentimes it's not a curse. And then, so what it is, what kind of animal is that, and how do we deal with it? And I find that from coming from my own culture, there is a very, very strong notion that's called the evil eye. And there is actually, I wrote a quite extensive article on my blog about the evil eye and my own personal experience with that. But the idea behind it is that we meet all kinds of people. Sometimes they're close to us. Sometimes they're people that we just meet on the street, just go by. And they would have a very, very strong thought in their head, maybe jealousy, or just they're paying attention with a certain sort of energy to you, to how you look, to what you have, to your child, you know, to your car, to your ring, whatever it might be. And then they go away. And after 2, 3, 4 weeks, all kinds of things start happening, and it's just escalating. And then, you know, you start looking through that, and when you tell people, no, it's not necessarily a curse, they're really surprised because it takes them a while to figure it out. I find that the evil eye in particular is a very, very tricky thing.
Yeah.
Because it feels kind of like, oh, I'm just not doing so well in the beginning. I'm not feeling so good physically. But, you know, pardon my language, eventually shit hits the fan and everything falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I find that this is a very common thing. And then I also find if the person who gave you the evil eye is somebody who is around on a regular basis or somebody who comes to your house, then you have a major problem. Because oftentimes we cannot eliminate these people, especially if it's family. You know, we know we're going to see them on a regular basis. So we need to start thinking about measures of prevention around that. So I've been thinking a lot about that and working through with my clients about how to get rid of the evil eye. And I'm wondering, I know that in my culture, both coming from, you know, being born in Russia and then being raised in Israel, especially in Israel, it's a very common thing. I mean, we say things, if we say something, if we say a compliment to somebody, we would knock on wood and we would say, without the evil eye, you know, so to be it, to prevent, just
can
even...
You might as well say how you would say that.
Oh, we would say, bli ay nara, which means without the evil eye, literally.
And you know how we say that in Yiddish? or in German, Ashkenazi Jews, kein ein Hara.
It's pretty much
no
the same, evil eye. And I wonder if Ali can add to that. That would be interesting, because I'm sure they can't
be
that far.
The exact same thing in some of the other Middle Eastern cultures. For example, whenever you give someone a compliment, because the evil eye is often believed to be unintentional. There are some who intentionally do it, but it's usually given as a sort of envy, right? You look at a beautiful
mm-hmm.
child and you go, oh, she's so beautiful, and then you say, Naam Khuda, in the name of God, which, you know, is meant to rebuke the evil eye. So it's a benediction rather than, oh, I'm being envious of your child. So whenever we give a compliment, same thing, rather than saying without the evil eye, we say Naam Khuda, which means without, you know, in the name of God.
Well, I've always liked it because kein ein hara is like half German, half Hebrew.
Yeah.
that's sort of humorous to me because kein is German. Kein ein hara. Yeah.
And
that's
so.
That's very interesting.
You know, there is many different things that you could do with the evil eye. And one of the things that I enjoy is in it's from Draja's book. What is his last name, please?
Mika Harek.
Yes.
Draja Mika Harek, yeah.
And he wrote extensively about spiritual cleansing, and he has this wonderful beer bath that I like, and I like to prescribe because it's very easy. It's very easy to do, and if the situation is not really bad, it could really help almost immediately. And it's something, there's no exotic ingredients where people would be like, well, I don't know where to find that. You know, just go get some beer, put in your water, take a bath. Everything is going to be okay. You're going to wake up tomorrow. There's not going to be any headache. And it works. So that was one of my favorite go-to remedies. Unless the situation is really, really bad.
That's actually great. I also highly recommend rue. Rue is the, you know, evil eye breaker par excellence. I mean, world round, you find rue being used, in fact, not only as a bath, but as an apotropaic charm. For example, in Brazil, it's common to wash the figas, you know, the little fists with the thumb, dress it in a little bit of bath made out of rue or rue oil, or put even a pinch of rue behind your ear, and that's considered to protect you from the evil eye. And the same thing in Mediterranean cultures and North Africa. You put a pinch of rue in a bag and hang it around your neck, and it wards off the evil eye.
Very cool.
The difference, now we should talk about the difference between the evil eye and a curse.
Because
the evil eye, and I'm going to just add a little bit something here too about the evil eye. Is it intentional? Is it covetousness? Is sometimes called the eye of envy? Or do some people give the evil eye? And in parts of the Mediterranean where the evil eye is well known, there are people who believe that there are people who are projectors of the evil eye. In other
yes.
words, they were just born with that quality.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sicily, they are called jettatori. Jettatori are people who project
mm-hmm.
the evil eye. And the evil eye itself is called jettatore. It's the evil eye. It's
mm-hmm.
different than in northern Italy. They call it malocchio, which means the bad eye.
Mm-hmm.
But this
yes,
is jettatore.
Sure.
And it is believed that certain people have that inherently. Their eye just projects evil. They may not wish it to. And in fact, there are tales of a couple of popes of the Roman Catholic Church who had to keep their eyes down at the ground because if they looked out at the populace, they would give them the evil eye.
Yes.
Just one of those strange things. So there's a lot of belief about the evil eye that varies from place to place.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, oh, and if anyone wants to know really old, how old is the evil eye? It is mentioned in the book of Proverbs, which was written by King Solomon. It says,
yes.
It says, you must not let anyone with an evil eye eat at your table. So,
and ancient Egyptian culture also mentions the existence of an evil eye-like concept.
Right. And, of course, the Eye of Horus, the watchet,
yes.
is a protection against the evil eye. Evil eye always uses an
right.
eye against the eye. But now a curse is something different. A curse
yes.
is where you stand there and you you know, you whip someone's footprints, or you damn them to hell, you light a black candle on their picture, you know, you singe that doll baby, stab it full of pins and needles. That's a curse.
Correct.
And a lot of people think that they're suffering from a curse when they're actually suffering from the evil eye. And there's also a more minor form of thing called a jinx. A jinx is kind of more like the African-American equivalent of the evil eye in that it is milder than a curse. Now, the evil eye can kill, by the way. A baby get diarrhea. The evil eye tends to make things lose their moisture. It comes from desert people, and their thing is the evil eye makes things dry up. So a baby would get diarrhea and dehydrate, or the fruit will drop off the tree, or the cow will go dry, or the woman will go dry, or the man won't be able to have an ejaculation. Those are all kinds of effects of the evil eye. But the jinx doesn't have that idea. The jinx is an African-American form of minor effect that usually causes you to lose your luck. You might have been gambling and gambling well, and the jinx is on you. You can't win anymore. And so there's a similarity there. A lot of people also believe, especially in the American South, that if you're gambling and playing and winning well and someone touches your hair, they drain your luck out. They touch your hair and your luck goes away. So that is a different culture's take on a similar kind of thing. Now, that usually won't cause someone to die. It just means they can't gamble well.
Yeah.
So there are so many different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ollie, you wrote in the chat room, jinxes can also be self-inflicted. What do you mean by that?
That was something that I was taught, you know, because it was one of the questions when I was learning conjurers. Like, what's the difference between cross conditions or crossing someone or hoodooing someone, right? Versus, I didn't use the term cross conditions. I said cross or curse versus jinx. And the jinx is exactly as you described it. It usually impacts your luck, and it can be done usually involving gambling, and, you know, you go around and just bad things kind of happen. It's not always deliberate. It's not always directed at you, though it can be. But it can also be self-inflicted. And the way I was taught this is, for example, cursing yourself, like God, I have the worst luck. That's called a self-inflicted jinx. It basically targets yourself. The other thing is gratefulness was, or being an ingrate was a very common thing you heard in Georgia. When you're in Georgia, oh, he's going to jinx himself because he's an ingrate. He's got all these great things, but rather than be grateful, he's complaining. And so it's almost a sense of bringing misfortune upon yourself. And that was very common in Georgia, the self-inflicted jinx, because you were you know, ungrateful for what you had, or you kind of cursed yourself by saying, ugh, nothing ever goes right, or something like that.
You know, that kind of reminds me of something on the Lucky Mojo forum. I'm always telling people, these poor women will sign up for the forum because they lost their boyfriend, and they give themselves a username like Unlucky in Love, or jinxed, or he's gone, I'm suicidal. You have to tell these women, change your dang username, because you're jinxing yourself. You're jinxing your own work. I mean, it's really a one of those things that people don't think about it because they want sympathy, but they don't realize that some pleas for sympathy are, you know, literally heard by the devil, because you say these things and your life goes all wrong.
And
oh,
now
think about
the stuff that we do in hoodoo. Let's think about a petition paper. Let's say that I'm doing a petition paper on myself or a client who needs love or luck, success, money, or whatever. I would write their name, and then on top of that, I would write the words that I wish upon them, right? I would write luck and the success sigil and love and all of those good things. So this is how we do work. We bless them. So when they come out and they put on themselves things like, oh, I'm unlucky in love, you know, no money, whatever, then they are really cursing themselves. This is what it is. It's as simple as a name paper.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
You know, this is just like it's a part of ourselves that we can look at, and this is really where I find a lot of my work is working with people, not only on bringing them the things that they need in life, but also changing them their perspective and helping them to understand that they are allowed to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, and that's absolutely true because. And all of us here can attest to this who work for clients, is that you will get clients, and it's probably after reconciliation work, the number one most sought after type of condition is that, my life has kind of sunk. It's hit rock bottom. I'm cursed. And the root worker has to be able to diagnose between, is this truly a curse where we have a deliberate enemy striking or assaulting spiritually that person? Is it an evil eye, a result of a non-intentional, you know, projected malice or envy? Or is it a self-jinx? Because all three of those have very different forms of approach. You know, one will involve reversal work, one doesn't, you know. So that it's very important to diagnose between all of those.
You're absolutely right about that. And I'm going to say something else about hoodoo, because we're going to bring this back to hoodoo for a moment. The different ways of taking off a curse are related to the cultural beliefs of how the curse was put.
Oh, yes.
It is very common for people to use egg cleansing. A lot of people think, oh, that came from Mexico. No. A lot of people think, oh, that's hoodoo. Well, yes, not any more than it's Mexican, though. The egg cleansing is comes from the belief in the evil eye because eggs are eye-shaped and they have liquid in them. Another very common in Sicily, it's used to take off the evil eye would be a lemon. And, of course, in other places like Turkey and Greece, they use blue glass eyes. And there's also hamsa hands or hands with eyes in them that are used by Jews and Arabs. But along the North African and Southern European area, the egg cleansing is against the evil eye. And it is interesting because that is not a cleansing against a curse. It's a cleansing of... So, you know, modern New Age people, oh, I did an egg cleansing to take off negativity. Well, that's one way of putting it, but that's what they say. But if you wanted to do a reversal of a curse, you really have to do something like a mirror box or get a doll and torture it or, you know, something serious because that's a different kind of thing. And you'll find that people who you go to, if you go to people who say, well, I've been cursed and I have all this, and like, you know, the reading comes out cursed, and they say, I'm going to cleanse you with an egg, that may not be enough, and that may be why it's not enough, because it's a cleansing against the evil eye. However, it is an extremely effective cleansing against the evil eye, very effective.
That's very true. The eggs are great, and we can actually take a look at full regimen cleansings as you know, evidence of what you've just said. When someone is given a very thorough cleansing, and you can find this in Latin American culture as well as along the south of the United States, you'll find that egg cleansing is just one part of the cleansing. That if it's an evil eye, sure, they'll use egg cleansing, but then they'll also follow it up with maybe spraying of some type of fluid or rubbing down with some type of oil or some type of candle cleansing where they pass candles or above someone. And this is all combined so that you're removing evil eye, jinx, curse. You're basically covering all the bases. Because sometimes an egg cleansing, which is very much directed towards something with the evil eye, may not be enough to remove crossing or curses.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it makes me think really about the root doctor being very much like a doctor and, you know, thinking about... is it a topical wound? You know, is it a deep infection or is it something like a cancer that needs to be cut out? And then how do you remove it? And then what do you put instead of it? You know, do you just sanitize? Do you cover it with something? What do you feel in? Because I feel that we can take the evil eye, but we also need to give something back. Is it a blessing? You know, if we reverse a curse, what are we going to give them then? So they are not only fulfilled, but also armed and protected against, you know, whether the enemy is still there or because they are so scared that they could attract that type of energy back to them, even if the enemy is done.
That's true. And you can even, for those that are readers or have a very strong psychic ability, if you were to read a client who has, you know, this type of condition, you can actually tell the difference quite readily, not just from the symptoms, but also from the way it feels. When you look at something like the Evil Eye or the Jinx, energetically, so to speak, it feels like a disruption, like something is just off kilter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
As if the balance was just tipped. If you're looking at a curse, it almost looks like someone has taken a red-hot poker or knife and stabbed it in and keeps twisting it. So there's a very different energetic feel to both of these, you know, to all three of these different conditions. And knowing which one it is can also help you, you know, put things back into balance, like Madame Nadia said. So, for example, what are you going to give back to them? Are you going to bless them? Are you going to give them protection? Are you going to do drawing work to balance that sort of imbalance that was there?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, there's some people in the chat room are talking about this, too, about the different terms and the different workings that can be done to protect. Protection against getting the evil eye is a whole other thing. And we don't have time to get into it, really, because it's such a long subject. But I do want to give just a little shout-out to what Carolina Dean said, which was the removal of the evil eye, testing for whether it's there or not, using olive oil dripped in water,
yes,
which is real common in mainland and Sicilian Italy. Also, the burning of Esfand, which is found in all the Pakistan, through Afghanistan, through Tajikistan. What are some of the other stands out there?
And Iran as well.
Yeah, in Iran and Iraq, all of them, they all burn that Esfand.
There is
It goes pop, pop, pop when it burns.
Sure.
And it's like little eyes popping. Because it's the same idea of popping that eye. And among the Sephardic Greeks of Rhodes, they couldn't get that response, so they burned cloves, and they popped just the same.
I know that in Israel they sell something, and that's the Sephardic Jews, and it's called Pur.
Mm-hmm.
And Pur is a mix of all kinds of things. I know that it has to be frankincense and myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to that, I have no idea what it is. I have it at home. You would buy it from, like, you know, the old lady in the market. She would tell you to put it on a pan, on a frying pan.
That's
and
right.
The pan
that's
heats up, and you do it. It starts popping. It stinks incredibly. You need to open everything in the house. But it's quite effective. So I keep a little bit of that, and I would sometimes, if I see the situation is required, will mix from my own private reserve into my client stuff, you know, just to add a little bit of that sting, but it's really, really good.
Yes, you know, I like the smell of Esfand if it's the same thing. And Esfand is usually mixed with frankincense as well.
Yes, it
and
is.
And with a few other things. And it contains antidepressants. And if you breathe the incense of it, it actually is an antidepressant. Very interesting.
And there's a web page
on it at my site. And
there's a whole incantation that's often said with Esfand. Some people burn it by itself, but it's very common that, for example, and you know, this has happened while I grew up. You know, when someone gave your child a compliment, they'd say, "Oh, he looks so handsome." Your mom would rush home, you know, put out a little pan and sprinkle some Esfand right on the oven, and say the incantation. And you'd get dragged over by who? And you know, all children are like, "I don't want to do it. It's smoke." But they pull you right over and they waft it right in your face and they say "Span balaban," you know, "Bashari nakshband," and they let that smoke waft up all over you to remove any evil eye, just in case that person may have directed it at you.
Mm-hmm.
And me, you know, my family, we hold the figa. This is what we call it with our fingers. And if you don't, you know, if I would be somewhere and my sister would be by me and somebody gave a compliment to my child, immediately under the table she would kick me with her foot and say, "Are you holding the figa? Are you holding the figa? I'll hold the figa for you." So this is something that we do all the time, and I do it, you know. Even Ryan, my goy husband, knows what a figa is, and he will do it if somebody goes, you know, and starts talking about our daughter too much. So that's... That's
yeah.
something that we do.
Yeah, yeah. The figa gesture and also the horned gesture, which a lot of people think has to do something with heavy metal or with hip-hop or whatever, or with the Dallas Cowboys or whatever, it's an old gesture, or Spider-Man. It's an old gesture that's used, in Italy, against the evil eye, and it's just to kind of poke those two eyes out.
Yep.
Those horns.
Yep, yep.
And the horns are, you know, relate to animals that are sacred to moon goddesses and therefore to the protection of the female deity against the evil eye. Usually when calling for protection against the evil eye in older religions, pre-modern religions, it would be an appeal to a female deity such as Isis or
That is correct.
Astarte. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there are so much. I mean, like I said, this could be a whole show.
It really could.
And we didn't even mention the red threads. They got mentioned in the chat
right.
room.
Right.
Why some cultures use red against the evil eye, which would be menstrual blood. This is the Tiet or Tit amulet of ancient Egypt, which is sacred to Isis. It means the menstrual pad of Isis. Comes up as the red string of Miriam, red string of Rachel,
mm-hmm.
red string of whoever, if you're a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And some cultures use the blue. The Greeks and Turks, they use the blue against the evil eye. And so did they in India. They use lapis stones against the evil eye.
Right.
And it's thought that the red comes from wanting to have the protection of the female deity. The blue comes from the idea that the only people rude enough to compliment your child and not know about the evil eye would be Northern Europeans. Because all us brown-eyed people know... You never see something that the baby's pretty. Never.
That's so funny.
The blue-eyed people come and say the baby's pretty. Oh, my God, oh, hell breaks loose. So you got to wear blue eyes to repel.
That is so funny because when I learned about it in Israel, it was, you know, because the devil is afraid of the color blue. But that
mm-hmm.
brings a whole cultural idea. Then who do we call the devil? You know?
Right, right.
So
that is
fascinating.
There's another one, too, that fishes cannot be affected by the evil eye because they live beneath water. And you cannot get the evil eye in the month of, and now you'll know the name of that month in Hebrew, but the month of Pisces. What's the name of that month?
I have no idea.
It's the month of February, of February approximately in the Hebrew calendar. You can't get the evil eye in that month. And people with a name that translates as fish cannot get the evil eye. Ashkenazi Jews believe that people like named Fishbein can never get the evil eye. They're immune against it because they have fish in their name.
Mm-hmm.
Just another one of those strange things. And sometimes you'll find evil eye charms from Israel, and they'll have two fishes on them. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we could go on and on and on and
oh,
on.
Oh, yes, we could.
Yeah. So, and nobody has come up with the name of that Hebrew month. Oh, well. Okay.
I'm trying to look
It's the
for
one
this.
Where Pisces, it's the one that would be equivalent
mm-hmm.
to the sign Pisces. Anyway, we better go get into our job here, which is to do readings from people. We run over time. And so we have callers calling in, and they're going to get some readings and some root work. So let's turn this over to Miss Tammy Lee, and she'll get us set up, okay?
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. And a reminder to everyone, it's a Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour with your host, Catherine Ironwood, and Kanji Manali. And this week's special guest, Madam Nadia, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our call-in clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Ms. Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our host. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client. Our first client is calling in from area code 646. This is Steele calling back in to us. Steele, are you there, caller?
I'm on the phone. 1 minute.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, Steele.
Hello.
Hi, Steele. Welcome to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour. This is Tammy Lee. This is Steele calling in from area code 646, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm going to go ahead and remind our hosts that actually you are calling back in for further guidance. You had called in previously to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour. And you can go ahead and remind them if they ask you to, okay? And she writes, after over 20 years, I reconnected with my first love, my high school boyfriend, a couple of months ago. The feelings rekindled instantly. We are in daily contact and things are heating up, but they don't really move forward given his situation. He's married. I've done some basic work on him and would like to know where things stand. Will this relationship ever move forward? Will he ever be mine, or is it time to let him go? Turning it back over to you.
All right, honey. And now this thing, because it's so wonderful, and I have to say, when somebody comes back into your life that's been away from you for a long time, isn't that amazing when that happens? I know what you're talking about. It's really amazing.
Thank
but,
you, husband.
Yeah, it's just such a there's nothing quite like it. And especially if it's like your first love. I mean, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. You're in daily contact. Things are heating up, but he doesn't move forward. He's married. That's the problem right there. And you know that as well as I do, sweetheart. So I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. How long has he been married?
10 years.
And how old are you both, approximately? What decade are you in?
Early 40s.
40s. All right. And does he have children from this marriage?
Yes.
All right. All right. Well, I'm going to put down three cards. And, you know, your question is, you know, will it ever move forward? Will he ever be mine? Or is it time to let it go? You know, ultimately, tarot cards don't read forever and ever and ever. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read for what's going to be in the near future. But that doesn't mean it may never, never, never happen, but it may happen after you're both 82. You know what I mean? Because, no, seriously, baby, these things, sometimes they're meant to be, but the time isn't right. And you let them go for now and see what happens later, you know? But I do feel it. I feel that there is a huge connection between the two of you, really an important connection. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that to every lady who calls in the show. All right, so the first card I have here is a card that is called the Four of Wands. And this will be the card of the past. And it shows a past of two people joyously approaching a place where four poles have been set up with some netting and a canopy of fruit and flowers. And they're holding up some fruit and leaves, and they're rejoicing. It's almost like a wedding, or it may be a harvest festival. And it's there are people around them in the back behind them also rejoicing. This says that your relationship with him really was founded on almost like some sort of, I don't want to use the term like sacred marriage, but there was something between the two of you that was really important. But y'all were just, you know, too young. Things just went astray. The second card I have here is a card of the present, and that is called the Four of Pentacles. And this shows a man holding on to coins as hard as he can. He's lost his castle. He's a king. He has a crown, but he's lost his castle. He's lost his throne, and he's holding on to his coins with everything he's got. Now, that's a man who is afraid that if he leaves his marriage, he'll lose his security. You know what I'm saying? He's got one foot on one coin, one foot on the other. He's holding the third coin in his arms. Well, on top of his crown, on top of his head, there's a fourth coin. That would be you. It's the smaller coin, but it's just as, it's like he doesn't know what to do about it. You're on his mind. You're always on his mind, but he's trying to hold on to this other situation, too. He's kind of he's in a bad position. Are you single at this time?
Yes.
Yeah, see, so you've got a better position than he does because he's got some trouble here. Now, the third card I have does not say that this is going to come out really good in the near future, but I'm not going to tell you to hold on for too long. The card is the Hanged Man. This is a man who's hung upside down. He's tied up, but he's got a halo around his head. It's a card of a person who may betray you but never meant to hurt you. It's a card of a person who is hung up and can't get loose. And I'm looking at this array, and I'm thinking, you ought to consider what's going to make you happy. This guy is pretty hung up. You can continue to do work on him, but I'm not seeing him immediately break through in the next 3 months, leave his wife and come live with you. On the other hand, he wants to. He's just not able to. Does that make sense? There's so much going on in his life right now. I know he loves you. I can see that. But I'm not seeing him splitting from that right away. Okay?
Okay.
So let's turn this over to Madame Nadia and see what she sees. She's going to use those Lenormand cards, I believe.
Yes. I pulled some cards from my Lenormand deck as well as from a little funky deck that I read before in the show, which is called Madame Duberkovsky Fortune Telling Cards. And both of them are kind of very, very similarly say the same thing that you're saying, Kat. The Madame Duberkovsky is an alphabetical deck, and it has images, and the first image is a chair, which tells me, yes, you were together in high school, but also this is a situation. This is very similar to that Four of Coins, of being stuck in a place and almost being afraid that life is musical chairs, and if you're going to, you know, jump up, you might lose your spot, and this is where he's at. The next card is the Hook, which tells me, yes, your root work is working, but you have doubts, because the next card is the letter Z, and it's just emptiness. So the minute that you, my dear, don't see results right away, you are sort of letting go, and the feeling, you know, he is sort of disappearing away from you, and the Lenormand cards are sort of saying the same thing. I see the fox, and in this situation, the fox is representing you doing the work on him. And he's thinking, he's considering, you know, do I want to stay in my marriage or do I want to go with this woman? And actually, if he's going to go with you, he is considering a very serious relationship because I see the ring. But right now, he is trying to decide, and I feel that you really need to do a very, 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 very strong push on that, and I will let Ali to tell us how to do it, but the thing that I'm seeing here, a hook, I would literally take a hook and use it in my conjure work to tie
fish
him
hook
to you. Exactly, fish hook.
Mm-hmm.
Fish hook.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say one other thing, too, here, because what we're seeing is, and you asked a specific question, is it time to let it go? We're not saying, yes, it's time to let it go, but more like work up to, make a deadline and work up to it. There is some possibility here, but it's not, the guy is really, really bound to what he's got up. So, Ali,
right,
what would you recommend she do, given that she's going to set herself a deadline and then work as much as she can?
Well, one thing I want to ask you, Steele, is are you doing divorce work or breakup work? Are you looking to make this man fully and totally yours? Are you willing to break them up?
I did not want to have to get my hands dirty.
You don't want to get your hands dirty. Well, see, the reason I asked this, is because it's very important. If you want this man, if you want to go after him, if you're just going to do love work, the most you can hope for, and this is the sense I get, and my fellow readers can either agree or disagree, is that you'll have possibly a triangle here, okay? If you want this man to be yours, because that's what you ask, you go, will he ever be mine? Well, honey, if you're not going to get your hands dirty, he's not, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That four of pentacles really shows us a man who, yeah, he thinks about you, but he's clinging on. I mean, he's clutching that coin to his chest. That's his stability. He's not going to give that up. So unless you enter in somehow and break them up, he's not going to suddenly decide one day, hey, I'm going to leave my wife. It's not. I know that there's a romantic notion that, oh, he'll leave his wife for me, but the reality is that generally does not happen. So you can work to heart's content, all the love works and honey jars and you know, spells that you want, but the most that you can hope for is going to be a love triangle. So it's really up to you. Are you willing to fight? Are you willing to attack this marriage? You are willing to attack this marriage then?
And the reason I'm saying yes now is because he just chimed in with a text message. So I think that's telling me I got to do what I got to do.
Okay, well, this is what I would recommend.
You mean she just texted you right now?
I haven't heard from him all day. I just got a text from him. I heard the beep in my
that's
ear.
That's a very positive sign.
Oh, I got you. He just texted you right now. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, when we're doing a reading, that's a sign. Folks, listen to that. When somebody texts, when someone else is doing a reading, boy, that is a sign. I think you should, but, you know, it was a good answer to say you don't want to get your hands dirty. But, you know, you might have to start thinking about breaking them up. That's all.
Yeah. Well, if you want, you know, that's something that you should consider. Now, the fact that I couldn't agree more with Kat, the text message is a sign. It means, one, that the readers are actually picking up on the spiritual flow and energy of everything, and that, two, his spirit knows that call. He's hearing it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I'd recommend is, first and foremost, you do, since you said you want to get your hands a little dirty, you're willing to do breakup work, is to do to begin divorce work. I want you to get a divorce candle. Or these are candles where it's a man and a woman back-to-back. And there is a black pillar between them. You're going to carve her name into the female figure, his name into the male, and you're going to write the words divorce. And you want to write it from the wick of the candle to the bottom. So it's almost like the tower, you know, that's being struck by lightning and going down. And you're going to dress this with breakup oil. You're going to dust it with breakup powders, inflammatory confusion powders to make them fight and bicker. And you're going to place this on a heat-proof dish, and you're going to light it with prayers. And you're going to pray with a righteous heart that this marriage come to an end, that the Lord split these two up if it be justified in his eyes. So you're going to pray from your heart's content. Next, what I want you to do is I want you to get some Florida water that you seep red peppers into, okay? And as that candle is burning, I highly recommend that you do it over 7 days. You can split it up with pins. You can stick 7 pins, and you burn it down until that pin drops, and then you snuff it out, and then you do it again over 7 days while the moon is waning. Okay, then right before the candle's about to burn out, right before there is, right before it melts completely and it goes out, I want you to take a machete or a big butcher knife, right? And I want you to take that Florida water that you've seeped some red peppers in, and you're going to just lightly sprinkle a little bit of that Florida water on the blade and set it on fire. Okay, be very careful. Please don't set yourself on fire. I've done this. It is a bit tricky, but it's a beautiful effect. And you're going to take that flaming machete, and you're going to chop that candle in half. And it's going to be a terrible mess, and the candles are going to go flying, so make sure you want to do this somewhere safe. You might want to do it outside. And you're going to, with a vengeful heart, right as you shatter that candle and you break the two of them apart with that flaming machete, you pray that they are divorced, that they go their separate ways, and never meet again. Take his candle, okay? I highly recommend, if you can get access to their properties, to leave it all on their property or bury it so that it infects their home and their house with that type of chaotic energy, with that fighting and bickering. Or if you can't, try to leave some of the powders mixed with dirt at their front property and throw her end of the candle, into a river where it's carried far, far away, and bury his on their property, okay? That way you split them up. I've done this particular work. It's very simple, done over 7 days. It builds power, power, power. Flaming machete of death ends the relationship, okay?
Okay.
That's the breakup portion of it, and perhaps Madam Nadja can talk a little bit briefly about the hook portion to draw him to you.
Well, anything that you do in terms of bringing him to you, you know, if you already have a honey jar, if you have candles, what I see with this hook is that I will try to bring the pictures of the two of you together, facing each other with some honey in between the pictures, maybe some roses. I'm trying to think. It needs to be when Ali was talking about that, you know, separating those candles and letting, you know, throwing her candle into the running water, to do something that shows him that you are very, very, very different, that you are, you know, his true love. And that can be done with different things. I like to work a lot with mirrors, magnifying mirrors, and things like that. So I would put the two pictures, the pictures of the two of you, connected with a hook, with honey in between, of course, praying over it between two mirrors. And I would put those mirrors in a little pouch. And if you have already, you know, lodestones or whatever, you can add to that. And I would put it under my mattress. And that works beautifully, because you're going to get all this, you know, junky energy out with the machete and the flames, and then, you know, you're going to cleanse yourself, and you're going to be this beautiful maiden just waiting for him on a bed of rose petals.
And by a hook, you mean a fish hook.
A fish hook. Yes, fish a hook, tiny yeah. little fish hook you can buy at Walmart or, you know, in many
the
different
hardware
places.
Store. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Now I'm going to say one other thing to you, Steele. If you in your heart, if you listen to this advice and you really don't feel that you can do the flaming machete of death, don't think you can't get him at all, but your chances are going to be less. If you feel that you should move on, set a date and just set a time, whatever that date is, his birthday, your birthday, whatever it's going to be, and say, I'm going to work until then with whatever, you know, because everyone's morality is different. We sometimes throw these really dramatic spells out here that some people go and go, oh, my God, I couldn't take doing that. So do what you feel is right, but do it until the time is up, and then just, you know, thank God for the experience and let it go if you don't want to do a heavier piece of work, okay?
Remember what Ms. Kat also said, that, you know, if you're uncomfortable with doing this type of divorce work, which is why I asked in the first place, if you are uncomfortable, set a deadline, do your love work. If it doesn't work out, walk away. Maybe it's not the time. Maybe you two will be together, you know, when you are 80 or when you are 10 years down the line. Maybe it's another 20 years before you guys need to meet again. So don't think that this is the end, you know, and that you have to do this right now. Ms. Kat did indicate that there's something there, and it may just not be the right time. So really, you know, search your soul if you're comfortable to do this. Not everyone is doing it, and I would never say you have to do this type of work. And if you do it, be sure it's always with, if this be justified in the eyes of the Lord. Give it over to God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. All right, Steele. We wish you all the best. And
Thank you.
Yeah, and you know, stay in touch and let us know what happens. Either way, you're at choice here. You're the one who gets to decide how much you want to do the work. But it doesn't look like it's going to just come naturally. Is the most best answer we can give you. It ain't going to come naturally. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling. All right. Let's turn this back over to Ms. Tammy Lee.
Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kat. And a reminder to everyone that support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 805 in the state of California. This is Gerald White. Gerald, are you there, caller?
Yes, ma'am.
Great. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to go ahead and remind the host that you've actually been on the show, but you have not gone to see any other members of AIR since that reading. And he writes, I've called in before about bringing my ex back from the influence of a pastor and some other enemies that broke us up. I've created some distance between her and the pastor, but she has started seeing someone from the church to be more socially acceptable, which turned into a long-distance relationship almost immediately. She still calls me and still comes to me with all of her problems and gets close and physical with me. She is saying one thing and acting on another on many levels. I've seen big movement and nearing my cutoff date and just want to see what the elders have to say about how things are going. I also recommended with my friend in Georgia to talk to Conjurman Ali about using Exu, I'm having a hard time pronouncing that, Conjurman Ali, so you can go ahead and correct me on that. To reconcile the situation. Exu. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right, I'm turning it back over to you. Thank you so much, Conjurman Ali.
Okay. Well, we're not going to be probably talking about too many things here at once. So let's just, we remember you remember this one, Conjurman Ali, right?
Of course I do.
And Nadia, do you remember this case too?
I think I listened to that show. I have some recollection of that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Ali, let's let you start off the reading, okay?
Certainly. Now, you said you have some candles being set from someone in Georgia, is that correct?
Yeah, I had a friend of mine who decided to take up a little bit of the slack because I was starting to tire out.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that it is quite uncommon, and I'm not sure why they recommended, you know, I'll be frank, I am an initiate of Kimbanda, but I don't know why they recommended you need to seek out Eshu, or it's because he doesn't exist in Hoodoo. You know, this is a completely separate tradition. It's an ATR. Not sure where that recommendation came from, so I can't really speak to that. And frankly, I believe that Hoodoo is a power all its own. It can perfectly reconcile these individuals without needing to resort to other traditions. But that's just my opinion, okay? So I have pulled three cards here, and what I'm going to be doing is reading the Rumi Tarot and going over, what you know, it indicates to us. The first card that we have is the sun. And the sun shows two individuals, both of them are dervishes, and this is actually the figure of Rumi himself with his mentor, Shamsuddin, which means, faith of the sun or son of faith. And it says, the sun of the spirit is everlasting. It has no yesterday. What this indicates to us is that there is a deep friendship between you and this your ex, and that friendship element of it, even if the romantic element is not entirely reconciled, is always going to be there, okay? That there is going to be that quality of her always turning to you for comfort, because she finds, like the sunflower that turns towards the sun, that she can find warmth and acceptance with you, even when she is doing things that obviously hurt you. Here you are, the ex, but she's involved with these other people. That's not a comfortable situation to be in for any guy or any girl, being once the lover, but now the comforter while she's off having her own relationship. But that speaks to, despite that the hurt of it, it speaks to actually the friendship element of it, that she does actually care about your opinion. She does care about what you're going to say and does seek out your guidance. The sun is a very positive card. The next card that we have here is the Eight of Staves, and the Eight of Staves shows us eight staves that are crossed, and then there's an image in the front of it which shows a Saracen warrior with a bow and arrow, and he's out in the desert, and it says, God is mounted on the wind that flies like an arrow. This speaks of the long-distance communication, okay? This is the communication between this person, between your ex and this other individual. Now, you said it's a long-distance relationship. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Good. Well, the Eight of Wands speaks directly to that, and what it says is that if you want to remove this relationship, you're going to have to attack the long-distance aspect of it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, breaking down communication is the best way to put an end to this other rival, okay?
Yeah.
That's what this Eight of Wands tells us. So, use those arrows to cut off the long-distance communication, strike from afar. The final card that we have here is a Hierophant, and the Hierophant is actually a Sufi master in meditation out in the beautiful garden, and says, a wise man is a mercy for the two worlds. You're going to have to resort to having an elder, having someone who may be a little bit more versed in this particular situation step in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your work is great. You've gone so far. But whenever we're in a situation, especially when it comes to reconciliation work, where you're about to succeed, you removed one rival and all of a sudden another appears, that indicates that, you need to up the ante a little bit. There's more going on here. She's still not quite, you still haven't quite addressed the situation, which is the problem within this woman herself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You've removed this other person. You sought out as a father figure, and all of a sudden he's gone, and now there's another person in the picture. That means that the core situation isn't addressed. So you need to address this wisely, because the Hierophant speaks of wisdom. And it also means to bring in someone who can address it while you yourself do the reconciliation work or break down the communication between her and this other individual. Someone to actually bring wisdom to this woman, doing clarity work, doing King Solomon's wisdom work, more work aimed at getting her to recognize what that problem is, so that she recognizes you as the sun, the source of her comfort, rather than these other people, okay?
Okay.
All right, well, I'm gonna fly in the face of that one, because I just cut my deck three times. And I'll tell you what I'm seeing here. I'm going to ask you a question. You said you're coming up on the end of your cutoff date. Now, that's good, because that means when we talked with you before, I never let anyone do love work without for an absent person without a cutoff date. So can you tell us, what is your time limit here?
New Year's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I'm telling you,
I cut
the deck.
That's only a few weeks away, yeah.
And I'm telling you, I cut the deck, and I'm seeing, I'm not seeing success here, and I'm also seeing don't start over again saying, well, now it's another guy. See,
mm-hmm.
You did work to create the distance between her and the pastor, but now she's got another guy. The key, what you're saying here, is she's saying one thing and acting out another on many levels. First card I have is the card of death. That is a card that tells me this relationship is approaching its end. There is a rider on a horse. He's dressed in black. The sun is coming up. It says a new day is dawning. But this relationship, your time is coming to an end. And I'll tell you, as someone who has worked this way up to a time limit, I found ways to rejigger and re-rejigger my time limit. Well, but that was before he said that and the other, you know.
Negotiating with yourself, as we call it.
Yeah, negotiating
right.
with yourself. So, yeah, you were able to get the pastor away, but you're now faced, exactly like what Ollie said, is her core issue, okay? Her core issue is different than it turns out the pastor wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem was her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second card I have here is a card that is called the Four of Swords. This shows a coffin in a little chapel with a stained glass window. Usually
mm-hmm.
means an expected death. It has other meanings too, but I'm just going to leave it at that, an expected death. But it's not dead yet. The tomb is not yet closed, and we see there's a, like it's almost like a voice from the tomb calls, you know, hey, not dead yet. So there's still a little life in it. Third card, the Fool. Don't make a fool of yourself here. I got rid of the pastor, and now she's got Bobby Joe, and I'm going to get rid of Bobby Joe, and we'll just keep on doing this for 10 years. You know what I'm saying? My sense of it is you did the work you were going to do on New Year's, set yourself free. That's my sense of it. But just, you know, that's how I see it. And I don't know about Eshu, because that Eshu, I thought, was sort of a road opener type deity. And maybe that's what your friend is doing unconsciously. I don't know. But
well, he's far more than that. But yeah, it's a really unusual suggestion. I'm not sure where it came from.
Yeah, it doesn't seem kosher to me.
Yeah, that's
okay.
A good way of putting it.
Miss Nadia, what would you recommend in terms of root work?
It's really you know, the situation here is very very tight, and I also threw cards, and so very much the same that you're stuck, my dear, and that the issue here is not you, but her and whatever, you know, I don't know where she's coming from, her own past, her own childhood, but she is attracted to the preacher type guys, and she is stuck with that, and it's going to be really hard for you to move on. And so if you are in a relationship, in a long-distance relationship with her, the last thing that I would do before I go cut and clear is I would try to send her something for New Year's, and I would put my personal concerns in it. And what
I actually live just a couple of blocks away. The other guy that is long distance, and
the work for you. Okay,
yeah,
that's
yeah. I slept in her bed 2 days ago, so.
Okay, so you're sleeping in her bed, yet she's dating other men.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, quote unquote dating. I mean, there's no physical actual dating going on. But
okay.
Anyway, yeah.
So, how are you good at cooking at all? Do you know how to make cookies?
Oh, sure.
Ginger
yeah.
man. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So I want you to take a bath, and I want you to really see yourself in your mind's eye and this woman together. Joined not only spiritually, not only heart to heart, but physically. And I want you to pleasure yourself. And with that pleasuring, when you're done in the water, I want you to get some of your feet shavings. I don't know how to say it nice. But what I want you to do is to take those special pedicure stones, and you're going to shave a little bit of your skin. And you're going to get a little bit of that water and a little bit of that skin. and you're going to mix it into the cookies.
Okay.
Okay? And you're going to make very, very nice chocolate cookies. And as you're baking it, as you're mixing it, every thought is going to be your prayer and your desire for this woman. Okay? So you see in your mind's eye that when she's biting that cookie, there is nobody else that she's thinking about, okay? That next time that she's sleeping with you in a bed, it's not going to be sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your lust resort, okay? This is the last thing that you're going to do because you have to promise yourself, if this is not working, then there is a bigger plan and maybe this is not the girl for you and you got to move on. So if it's not working, then we need to think about area of spells that's called cut and clear. And on this show, the cut and clear spell, we mentioned it many times. But the idea here is to take away what is not working in this relationship and let that go and then bring to you something that is good, the things in this relationship or this person that you like, plus the consistency that you're seeking.
Yeah, well, just to add real briefly to that, because we are a little bit out of time here, is, you know, the cards were not particularly positive that Kat pulled. However, they're not saying you're doomed off the bat. It's saying that the end has begun, though. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So don't give up yet. You still have 2 weeks. Fight those 2 weeks. In those 2 weeks, follow the instructions that you were given. Do the cookie work that Madame Nadja recommended. Get a professional involved if you can, okay? Like who can assist with this matter of really getting into her spirit and waking her up. Then, when you present her with these cookies, the other thing that you need to do is you need to actually check where you stand. A lot of people do these deadlines and they go, okay, well, you know, let's see what happens. No, you have to actually confront this person. You have to actually say something to them. You ask, where do we stand? What am I to you? Okay, and this is important because you've skirted around this topic, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying you physically haven't talked to her, but you're working in an indirect manner, and something direct needs to be here. Okay, and that's kind of the hierophant that we're talking about. You need to actually be that source of wisdom. You have to actually say, at the end of your work, the last day, right, the 31st, you ask her, who am I to you?
That's right.
Are we a couple? Why are we not together? If you love me, then why are you with this other man? Why do you come to me and seek my comfort when you're with this other person? And if she says, I love you, but not in that way, you go, okay, now you have your answer. The 1st of January, you walk away, you cut and clear. Now, that doesn't mean the relationship is entire. Maybe 10 years down the line, she will come back. But that means your work is done. You will no longer wait for this woman. You will no longer devote your energy towards this woman. But up until those 2 weeks, don't give up now. Fight hard, do your work, break down that communication, and then ask her. Be like, why are you with this person if you love me, if I'm in your bed? Okay? So you tell her that. You be honest. You're not arguing with her. You're not fighting with her. Don't mistake my words as you know, attacking her. No, it's an honest heart-to-heart communication. And if she can't handle it, and if she doesn't have the clarity, to give you the truthful answer, to give the answer that she's really feeling, then that's it. Walk away. Up until that point, though, light those clarity candles, get that professional involved, get, you know, really build up that energy and then take advantage of that energy by asking her that question. And who knows, maybe she'll say, you're right. I can't, you know, and tell her, I will walk away, I'm done. And maybe she'll say, I don't want to miss you, I don't want to lose you, you are the one, you know, maybe that's what it takes. So up until that date, go ahead, be, you know, fight as hard as you can, be honest with her, have that talk to heart to heart. If it doesn't work out, walk away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, just from my own experience, too, that one of the things to say is really to ask, what am I to you? What are your plans? What are our plans? Don't try to, you know, don't throw up against the wall and say, okay, bitch, this is your last chance. I mean.
No fighting. That completely counteracts everything you're doing. You're giving her these sweet cookies, and then you're like, I demand that you be with me. No, that does not work. Ultimatums are the worst thing you can do.
But here's the thing, you know, and we've talked about this before with your case, that there are many levels in doing spell work, and sometimes spells fail. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes you go to the doctor and you say, can you cut off that tumor? And he does, and then another tumor grows, and that's what happened here. you got a lady who has, you know, she had the pastor. She's under the influence of a lot of men who are influencing her. You have somehow, you know, it may be that this isn't the right kind of gal for you, because look what she's doing with her life as far as these inattainables, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, you're seeing it. The other thing to remember, and Ali did not mention this, so I do want to mention it, is that a cut and clear spell does not mean, and I'm not talking about a black walnut spell now, I'm just talking about a cut and clear spell. A cut and clear spell does not mean that that person will never come back into your life. And cannot. And as we all know, Deacon Millett is living proof. He did a cut and clear spell on the man he's with now. And I mean, they're solid partners. But he did a cut and clear spell because he couldn't take the pain anymore, because he couldn't take the confusion. And it cut them apart. And then later, guess what? Man came back and said,
"And that's
hey,
what
you know,
exactly needed to happen." And that's what needed to happen, because I have a feeling that this lady is after men that are very sort of, you know, less friendly and more about telling her what to do and how to do it. They're religious type.
Yeah.
And
she likes authority figures.
Authority figures, exactly.
Yeah, there's a social element here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if you, you know, if you would have to let go, it doesn't mean that it's done. It might give her exactly the message that she needs to receive. Because you can't be in this position for a long time. It's going to drive you crazy. And you stop you stop your life from happening and from being happy. And we all deserve to be happy.
Yeah. Well, there's been a couple of questions in the chat room, and since we don't have another caller in the queue, I'm going to address these. Black Cat has been saying things like, give yourself some space that is needed. Well, that's not, it's not about space, honey. It's not about space, Black Cat. It's about finishing the work in due order and with dignity and with respect for yourself, and saying, I've done this work, and I've run my race. And if I came in second to some other person, then that, so be it. That's it. And you let it abide, okay? It's not about lying to yourself. It's telling the truth. And then we also, people saying about, you know, is she a player? Somebody asked, is she a player? No, I don't think she's a player. I think she does want some kind of authority figure thing. And she is just not perceiving you as that sort of person. So I think you should do it up to the day. And when you do it up to the day, I'll tell you from my own experience, when you do it up to the last day and you can walk away from it and do a cut and clear spell, you'll feel that you accomplished something even if you did not gain your goal. Trust me on that. I've done it. I've been there. Okay? I think many of us have.
And like Ms. Cat said, and like I mentioned earlier, the cut and clear does not mean that it's over, like that's it, you've lost. It means that you're now healing from this. Now you're saying, I'm no longer focusing on you, I'm focusing on me. It may very well be that it takes you walking away and you guys spending time apart where she doesn't have you there, that she recognizes what she loses and does come back in 2 years and 3 years or whatnot, and it actually restores your relationship. That's what it means. That's what it means. It means that you're done. You're no longer going to focus on her. You're going to focus on you. You're going to heal yourself and you're going to be in a better place. But that may be exactly what it takes to restore the relationship, or it may be that that is the end and you, you know, you and her will only be friends. Right. So don't look at this as an entire failure. It's a shift from I've given you all the opportunity in the world. Now I'm focusing on me.
All right. It's having faith, really. It is. It's having faith and knowing that spirit is with you, and this is how it is right now. And you did what you said you're gonna do, and you're gonna have faith that the process that's happening is the best thing that can happen to you at this moment.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. Well, thank you for calling, and Jared,
thank you guys very much.
Good luck. We'll stay in touch, huh? All righty. Now we can take one really short call. We can just go directly to that call, and just if we can, Miss Tammy Lee.
Sure. Yes, ma'am. We'll go ahead and go to the caller that's in our queue, calling in from area code 614 from Columbus, Ohio. Caller, are you there?
Mm-mm.
Hi, 614, are you there, caller?
No, I don't think they're there.
Make sure they got the right one.
We could go to a new caller who just came in. That's 914.
Okay, let's try 914.
914, are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Great. Welcome to the show. May
Thank
I have your
you.
Name, please, for a host?
Mary.
Mary, great. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and turn this back over to our host, Ms. Kat Kontinen-Ali, and this week's special guest from Air, Madam Nadia.
So, Mary, just really briefly, what is your question, and we'll see if we can read for you on it.
I was involved with somebody, and we broke up about a year and a half ago, and we've been talking back and forth, and I just want to know what's going on.
Okay. How long were you together before you broke up?
We were together a year. He was separated from his wife, and we were going to court to have her bring the kids closer so that we could visit with them. And she put the rope back out and lured him back in, but she's under his control. She doesn't love him.
So he is he still with her now but seeing you? Or?
No, we're not seeing each other because he moved to another state, but we were in communication, and I think he got caught communicating with me.
Okay. All righty. Well, let's have Madam Nadia do the reading on this.
Okay, my dear. So as you were speaking, I pulled a few Lenormand cards, and I have five cards in front of me. So I do agree with you that he got caught. The first card, the central card, is the key. The key card is a good card, essentially, that says, yes, there is something here, there is a relationship, there is a future. But on the one side of the key, I see the scythe, and the scythe cuts away the key. So I feel that there is, you know, there is more than what you see about, you know, she lured him back. He has an investment in it. And, yes, he got caught, and she said, you know what, my dear, that's not going to fly. You either we either cut you away from the situation and allow you to continue and park in this relationship, or you're gone. And he made the choice. He decided to stay where he's at. Did he move to a different? What was the reason of moving to a different state? Because I feel it's almost like connected to this relationship and connected to the to be away from you.
Well, he's got two children by her.
So he left there, came, has been
he
with
left,
you, and then
he left his hometown to go stay there. But he's not working; he's struggling. She stole money out of his disability, and
I saw that.
And she's really not a nice person. She doesn't love him. She needed somebody to fix the new house that she bought with his money from the disability. She stole $40,000. So when he was involved in a union thing that went bonkers, he went back on disability, and he was only collecting $300. And he was living with me, and I knew he just felt like less than. But she has the kids, and she dangles the kids.
Let's let
Ollie get in here for a sec.
Let me just cut in here and tell you that I know that you're saying she's a terrible person, and she may very well be, and she's manipulating him. But if you're asking, are you going to get this man back? The answer is no. Okay, I'm going to be honest with you, and just going to say I've cast a geomancy chart, and I'm going to hit the points. The very first figure that I get is Rubius, and Rubius is never a good figure. Okay, in fact, in the old geomancy, you know, traditions, if I were to ever get Rubius, luckily I'm not that strict of a tradition, I'm supposed to tear up the chart and not read for an hour. What this actually indicates in Arabic geomancy is that, they're very strict about this in Renaissance geomancy, but in Arabic geomancy, we don't care about that crap. So Rubius comes up and it says very clearly, it says, no, that this is a situation in revolution. This is a situation where this man, no matter how much he's under the influence of this other woman, is always going to pick her. That the cup has been overturned. Whatever relationship that you and him had is done. It's over. It has been cast out. It's been overthrown by this other woman. It's been, as much as she is the wife and you're technically the mistress, it's that relationship between the two of you is usurped. It's done. The figure that's in the love house, which is the seventh, is Acquisitio, which is gain. It's all about finances for him. Okay, it's more than just about him or her stealing. She represents financial stability. Leaving, divorcing, and coming back to you represents losing not only his children, but his financial base. He's not going to do it. The secret figure here, which is known as the projection of points, that tells us what's the hidden factor, is Puer. Puer is a sword, and what this tells us, she's got the sword to his neck. But this is a situation where he is not going to act. He has a lack of power, a lack of strength, in order to say, no, I'm done with this relationship. I'm going to go and be with the woman that I actually like. So the answer that the geomancy is telling us, and geomancy is a very blunt divination, is saying no. There is no connection. There's no configuration. There's no matching between your figure and his. There is no connection whatsoever. You may hear from him again. Do not expect this man to be yours. Okay, there's just so much working against you, and this woman is so far ahead of you financially, emotionally, and she's got control of the kids. You're really up against, a big force.
And I just have to say something, that I would not be surprised that there is a nation sack involved, and when you're talking about the sword to his neck, I see a sword to his balls, seriously. So I just had to say that.
Wow, all right. Well, I'm going to just then throw in, because since the answer is no, that I'm going to put in a couple of ideas here for what you should be doing. Number one, I would send them all on their way with a blessing. Don't get yourself down into the ditch that he's in. Make up a little blessing candle, a little white candle, bless them, say, may all be happy with each other wherever you're going to go. And try, because this situation, you're going to break your heart against it, is what I'm seeing here. And so I would just make a blessing candle, dress it with blessing oil, send them on their way. Because he's a weakling. He's a weakling, and the lady, she pulled out the kids as a card.
Yeah.
But remember, it's not just that; these kids are people too, and people often discount. And when you say, "Well, he won't divorce because she's holding the kids over his head," the kids themselves may be doing something. Keep daddy home. We want daddy.
Absolutely.
So you're outnumbered. You know what I'm saying? You're outnumbered in a way.
Yeah.
So it isn't always just the wife. The kids themselves say, I want daddy. And that God listens sometimes to that too. So I would cleanse myself. I would do a cut and clear. I would cleanse myself, take off all the negativity of these people, and light a white blessing candle for them and say, adios.
Did I block his phone number?
What'd you say?
Block his phone number.
Block his phone number? Yeah, I would. I would. I mean, for your own peace of mind, if because
it's just going to pull you into a mess that you don't want. Cat's right.
Yeah.
Block it.
Just block it. Just block it, and just say, goodbye. Enjoy your life. Have a nice one. Bye.
Okay.
Okay, sweetheart.
All right. Thank you.
All righty. Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, now we're coming up to our free spell, and we're going to have Madam Nadia talk about something that y'all can learn that she knows that we don't know yet. So let's see if Miss Tammy Lee can give us a little introduction, and then we'll go to the free spell.
Sure, Miss Kat, and just a reminder to everyone that the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour from coast to coast and around the world is brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. And now we will be going to our free spell with Madam Nadia of CalvaryMoon.com in Chicago, Illinois. Turning it back over to you, Madam Nadia.
Oh, wow. Okay. So going back to the idea of crossed conditions, I learned a very, very quick spell that each one of our listeners can do on their own to figure out if you're crossed or not. And this is coming from Russian folk magic. What you will need is a clear glass, and some water, okay, and some matches. The Russian Orthodox Christian tradition, they use holy water. So by all means, if you use holy water, if you do it in, if this is something that you use, go ahead and pour holy water into that glass. if you do not use holy water, I bless my own water. My go-to prayer is the Shema Yisrael prayer that I would bless the water with, and I would also say a prayer that I want to know whether I was cursed or not. And then what you do is that you light 3 matches, one after the other. You light the first one, you throw it into the water. You light the second one, you throw it into the water. And you light the third one, and you throw it into the water. If you are not cursed, these matches are going to float for a little bit. And we're talking about regular matches, wooden matches. But if indeed somebody put a curse on you, and again, we're not talking evil eye, we're not talking jinxes, we're talking somebody said there was a black candle, wrote your name on it, burned it, whatever, those matches are not going to be floating. They're going to go down. And this is going to be a very, very quick way to figure out what's up.
That's a beautiful one. And you know,
I love
interesting
that.
Because I know a very similar one that involves little pieces of coal from the fire. And I was taught this by a Yugoslavian lady.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
she said, you take, you know, that this would be from a wood fire, not, you know, I mean, not coal, but like embers. That's what I'm talking about, embers. And she say you reach in with tongs into the fire, and you get 3 of these little coals, but burning embers, you know, and you throw them into water. And if they float, or if they sink, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Yeah.
That's right. And since a lot of us, you know, maybe don't have access to that wooden stove,
right,
the matches would work well.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because, of course, matches weren't invented, you know, until fairly recently. I mean, they're late 19th, early 20th century stuff. So I'm wondering if that one used to be that. But that Yugoslavian lady who told me that, she was a lady who worked at the University of California in Berkeley. Just happened to be a lady from Yugoslavia.
That was very beautiful. I've seen someone do this before, and it, you know, this is quite common in households. And a mom wants to find out if there's a curse going on her child, or the house has been cursed. I love it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, the simpler, the better sometimes. Because
exactly.
If you're already freaking out that there is a curse upon your head, you don't want to do complicated ritual, especially if you're not familiar with that, and then asking yourself, was this A or was it B? Or maybe it's C, you know? And then it's really, like, really bad. So, and
well, that's the beauty of folk traditions and folk magic, is that they are so straightforward. You know, you get a clear answer. Yes, you're cursed. No, you're not. I love it.
Right. Yeah, that's really interesting. How interesting. Well, thank you very much for that one. And I know there's going to be people who are going to be lighting those matches and doing that tonight and try to find out. And remember now what she said, too. This is about a severe curse, and this is not just a little evil eye or something like that. This is about a severe curse. Okay.
With the evil eye, you can do the oil test.
That's true.
We had 2 tests this radio show.
Yeah, the oil, the dripping the olive oil into water while you say the prayers, and if it forms an eye, then the eye is there. Another one is put the egg under the bed and leave it there overnight, and in the morning, if the egg is all messed up inside, that was the evil eye. All right. Let's turn it over to Miss Tammy Lee and say goodnight.
Yes, ma'am, Miss Kat. Thank you so much, Miss Kat and Conjurman Ali. And thank you, Madam Nadia of CalvaryMoon.com in Chicago, Illinois, for being our special guest member from AIR this week. We invite you to tune in next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Rooters and Rootworkers will be Deacon Millett of FourAltars.com in the high desert of California. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Kat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com in Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific and 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz.
Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you. A little final reminder from Nagashiva. I will be teaching a class on throwing bones and reading bones at Madame Tamita's Parlor of Wonders on Main Street in Santa Monica, December 29th from 7 to 9 p.m. I have it on good report that Conjurman Ollie will be there.
I will.
And so you can meet him, too. And I think that Deacon Millett may be there, too. And so make it if
I'll
you can.
I'll try to put that in spirit.
Najee will be there in spirit. Right? December 29th, Madame Pamita's Parlor Wonders. All right. And we are working on the workshops for May, so keep on checking in that workshops.html, missionaryindependent.org/workshops.html. All right. And Madame Nadia will be there with her Lenormand cards and will be giving readings at workshops. Yeah. So that's going to be wonderful.
Exciting things to come.
Yeah. Okay. And so I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the chat room right after this show ends. Okay? Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for coming out.
Bye-bye.